Welcome to The Secrets of Success. By following the proven techniques of the guests who appear on this series, you'll learn that even successful people run into detours and failures, and how you can apply their success techniques to change your life.
You're now listening to the most unique show on radio, the show dedicated to making you a success. Bob Cohan says one three-letter word can make a big difference on your path to success. Let's find out more from Bob. Bob, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Bob, before we start, you have a very interesting background, so I'm going to ask you if you would give us kind of the 30-second overview.
Sure. I have an undergrad in business, which I always will tongue-in-cheek say it's a BS in business, because that's the initials that I came with the diploma. And I left business in my early 20s to study improvisation passionately and energetically to the very best of my ability, only to go dead broke and have to figure out how to make ends meet. And cut to about 5 years later, I had a very unique opportunity to create a program at the Duke University Fuqua School of Business that involved up-on-your-feet experiential learning, i.e. improvisation. And from there, my company was formed. In the first program was in 2000. My company formed in 2001. And I have been linking improvisation to business through the behavioral sciences and cognitive psychology and organizational theory ever since 2000, and have had the opportunity to travel the world a couple times over teaching business people how to improvise.
So it sounds like you're kind of the Dr. Phil of improv.
Well, depending on if you like him or not, sure.
Oh, I like him. I like him, sure. No, okay. I say that admiringly. Now, Bob, before we get started, can you tell our audience, what does the word improv mean?
So improvisation, in the way that we define it in my company, Business Improv, and in the book, Getting to Yes And, is on these three core competencies: reacting, adapting, and communicating. Reacting, adapting, communicating. That's what improvisation is. Reacting, being focused and present in the moment at a very high level. Adapting, if you're reacting within parameters or trying to achieve a specific outcome, you're reacting and adapting. And then the subroot to both of these is communicating, as we do not float in space or operate in a vacuum. There's always someone with whom we can react and adapt, or perhaps even something in our environment to which we can react and adapt. And that's what we focus on.
Now, if you came up to me at a seminar or something and said, what do you think of when you think of improv? I think there's a TV show, Whose Line Is It Anyway, or something like that,
yeah,
where they will toss out a story, you're getting on a bus or something, just a quick one-line comment about something, and they have to make a scene out of it, I guess, or build up a storyline around it, etc. So I think always of comedy and actors. So how does this tie in with business?
Well, that's the most common association. I mean, that's really how it's been introduced to the entire world, and most specifically American audiences. Not only with that great television show, you have Curb Your Enthusiasm and all sorts of great improv comedy houses that have popped up in every major city and pretty much any city with a fairly large college. So that, it's important to note, is about the context, though. The comedy comes from the situation, the context, the environment, the people performing the improvisation. Yet, would you say, and I'm asking you this question, first responders, EMTs, firefighters, special forces teams, do they have to improvise?
Not till I read your book. How's that for a politically correct answer?
Yeah, absolutely. And we could twist and turn that as well. Athletes, do they have to improvise? Elite chefs, I don't know if you watch any of the cooking shows now. There seems to be an improv theme in pretty much all of the cooking shows. So really what we're looking at, rather than the context, which is the comedy, as you mentioned, or first responders or cooking or whatever it might be, is the skill set related to successful improvisation.
And, of course, you mentioned react, adapt, and communicate, and of course, when we put that into an emergency situation, the policeman, the emergency room, the detective, the teacher, the principal, all of us, this is something we all need one way or another. And it's not just for laughs, and it's not we're not trying to make comedians out of the audience. And that's what I was trying to get at, because I misassociated it before reading your book. And I always looked at it as something just humorous. And you've taught me a lot just before we even get started today. Now, you say it thrives, improv thrives where planning meets execution. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So if you look at any of these jobs, including really improvisational comedian, it's about a skill set that's been sharpened over time. So it's about practice, it's about training, it's about laying plans in place so that ultimately once it's time to perform, whether on an improv stage or first responders or, as you mentioned as well, in a classroom with teachers, you put your lesson plan in order, you know the talking points, you have your slides, and ultimately no matter what, in any of these venues, Murphy's Law is going to be enacted. So you need that strong planning to be put into place. You need that strong strategy. And then at the moment it's time to execute, that's where you see great improvisation take place, or you see poor improvisation take place. And so it behooves us to put ourselves in a better position to succeed when all of those X variables start coming into focus in the execution of a single idea through the planning and training.
Bob, I'd like to mention to our audience, if they didn't hear it originally, our guest today is Bob Culhan. His book is Getting to Yes And, and we'll talk about that a little further in the show. And Bob, can you tell us where the book is available, and is there a website where we can learn more about this?
Absolutely. The book is available pretty much anywhere you could buy books, certainly online, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and 800 CEO Read, where we were recently named a bestseller for the month of February. And, of course, you can go to our website, gettingtoyesand.com.
And we'll give that information again. And it is fascinating. And when you read it, you'll find ways to get much more out of any group you're working with, whether it's a PTA committee, a church committee, the typical business meeting. And people wonder why you're so good, but that's because you read Bob's book, Getting to Yes And. Bob, another phrase you mention in the book, you say that this is performing at the top of your intelligence. How does that tie in?
The way that we define that great old improv phrase, performing at the top of your intelligence, is really your ability to let your natural intelligence come to the surface. So on paper, that should mean you get to access all of your education and people that you are influenced by and people inside your team right now, the circumstances inside your environment, the environment itself, the competition, that constantly shifting set of variables that we touched upon before is all related to how you perform in the moment. And that means you have to have access to all of your brain, not just one side of the brain or the other side of the brain. And then how do you adapt in real time using your entire brain and everything that you can access so that your decisions are crystal clear and you put yourself in a better position to succeed moving forward with the people around you?
Bob, can you tell us, are there some examples? Now, I know you've worked with famous comedians. You've worked with a lot of people with names we would know, and of course, in the business and college arena. But can you give us an example of how this would work if you were dealing with some of the students in one of your classes?
Absolutely. So let's say that a student in one of the classes needs to make a presentation, kind of a classic scenario, right? And in this presentation, which we'll just say for specificity's sake, she prepared an awful lot, our student. She knows her audience. She's put together a great deck. She is prepared and ready to go. Now she gets up and starts to present, and the slide projector breaks down. What happens at that moment? Or if it's not a slide projector, PowerPoint, or whatever the technology is of the day, that disintegrates. So what do you do at that point?
I bet the answer is react and adapt.
Absolutely. So you could take that scenario and you could watch somebody fail. I'm sure we've all seen it before, and possibly we've all even touched upon it before. And we've also watched people succeed in those moments. And this, again, will relate to the reacting, adapting, communicating, as well as performing at the top of your intelligence. So instead of looking at this as a missed opportunity or an error, you look at this as an opportunity and you take advantage of it and say, okay, we can't go to the slides, so let's turn this into an interactive conversation.
Makes sense. And it's funny, someone was just telling me this weekend they had gone to see one of the Oscar nominee movies, and there was quite a crowd there. And the I guess the theater manager had said, you know, I'm sorry, the computers are all down, you can't come in. And in this particular crowd, not only was it raining out, but luckily most of the people, I guess everybody, said, no problem, we have cash. but she said they couldn't take cash because the computers were down. A friend of mine actually talked to her, pulled her aside, and said, do you realize you're turning away like $1,500 to $3,000 in people here, plus you're going to have some angry people? It took about 10 minutes, but he convinced her. And after the show, she came up to him and said, thank you. You know, I was able to contact the, you know, the bosses of the theater, and they told me I did the right thing. It was good. I took the money, and I guess it was a win-win. But she did just exactly what you said. Luckily, she listened, had the communication with this gentleman, and reacted appropriately, and 150 people got to see the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about pulling success from a failure, essentially. And because she was open to what this stranger had to say to her, she learned in real time, adapted in real time, and was able to turn a loss into a lead.
And to his credit, he didn't do it in an anger, situation. He just called her and said, you know, I'm a business person, and if I were running your theater, this isn't really a good way, because you got 150 people who want to come in. We all have cash, and it's raining outside, so please help us. How do you describe yourself now? Since you really could come under a lot of different headings, are you a comedian, a teacher, a businessman, an entrepreneur?
Great question. I am still an improvisational comedian, an actor. I perform all the time. And in fact, everybody in my company, Business Improv, still has to continue to perform, even though we all have business backgrounds. So I am an entrepreneur as well, starting this company, as mentioned, in the early aughts. I am an adjunct professor at the Duke Fuqua School of Business, as well as Columbia Business School, so I'm a professor. I've written songs and lots of one-act plays and scenes, and now a book, so I guess I'm an author. I would say that I'm an improviser. That's what I would say.
Well, it was obviously a very interesting background, and the fact that you teach this, that it goes out to businesses, that you lead seminars on it, I think we can take your word for what you're saying, because now we're coming to that very important part. The title of your book is Getting To, and then in quotes, Y-E-S, and then the word A-N-D. Explain that. What's so important about getting to yes and? Why is that such a key?
Yes and is the cornerstone of improvisation all around the world. It is building block number one, regardless of what country you're in, what continent you're on, what language you're speaking. This is the fundamental rule of improvisation. Yes is unconditional acceptance. You give me this gift, this offer, this opportunity. And again, opportunity can be negative or positive. It's this that takes place in real time. You give me this. And then is the bridge to what you do with this offer, this gift, this opportunity. And is the bridge to your intelligence, and is the bridge to your education, your background, your experience, your passion. So yes is unconditional acceptance, not that you're going to execute everything that's brought to you or even agree with everything that you brought to you. It is unconditional acceptance in the desire to understand what it is before you rush to judgment. And then is the bridge to the judgment you rush to, either an acceptance that you're going to run with it and or I disagree with what you just said. So above and beyond anything, yes and is a communication tool. It's a way to open up the floodgates of strong, open communication wherein we remove the barriers to communication, collaboration, creativity, one of which, of course, is fear, fear of judgment, fear of being wrong, fear of repercussions, and turn this into a level playing field for everybody involved so that there's a celebration of diverse opinions and an ability to adapt in real time to the ideas that are brought to the table.
What's the opposite? If I'm totally the guy in the raw, let's say a class giving an example of this, what would I say that would be the opposite of yes and?
The opposite of yes and is yes but or no but. And no but for most people is redundant, as but eliminates everything said before it. So no but for most people is a no no. So yes but truly is the opposite of yes and. Because, and I will always go back to an old military axiom, but eliminates everything said before it through restrictions, denials, contradictions, steering. And if it doesn't, and here's the real truth of the thing, it feels that way. It feels like a negation. it feels like a steering. It feels like a status move. It feels like you just undermine what's being said, especially when it's delivered from one person to another person on a consistent basis or said emphatically.
So if I come up to use a, maybe a business example with just a simple suggestion, let's have a holiday party in 2 weeks, and someone else at the meeting says, yes, but, and then they go into cost, we can't get the room, it's not available after 5 o'clock, the building shuts down, etc. That shuts me out, and I get kind of quiet. Is that the idea behind it?
Absolutely. And here's the truth as well. We can try this on for size. Let's, in 20 seconds, let's plan a holiday party, okay? You and me, every idea starts with yes, but.
Yes, but it's not. This is not a holiday now. This is a radio show, so it's inappropriate. It would cost a lot. It's just you and me. Why don't we just have dinner?
Yes, but I, without this party, how can we socialize and get to know each other better?
One of us could take the other to dinner. Why do we need a whole party? It's going to be costly. There'll be a lot of leftovers. We'll have to rent a big room, and it's just two of us. Why not just get a table in a restaurant or a McDonald's?
Okay, great. Now let's turn it on its ear and do the same thing for about 10, 20 seconds. Every idea that gets brought to the table starts with yes and this time.
Okay, now you're saying yes and. That's a good party. How many folks did you want to invite? Who else could we bring in that would be as intelligent as you, that we could really get a mixture, and what a learning experience would be? I get to talk to all these famous authors, improv people. It's just endless.
I think you just yes anded for both of us there.
I just completed the whole show. Well, good night,
absolutely.
Bob. Thank you so much. Thanks for being with us today.
I could just sit back, put my feet up, and enjoy the ride. Yeah, that's fantastic. And that, in truth, is indicative with the way it would normally go. So even if you tried this exercise out with 5 or 10 people, in yes, but, it would still at least feel like a negation, like no ideas were accepted and built upon, and there's no party that's going to take place. Where in yes and, on the other side of that coin, it feels like every idea is a valid idea, maybe not one that we're all going to execute across the board. They're still at this point in the planning stage of a party. Great ideas, it's accepted, and we're moving forward toward that party.
Bob, yes, and I want you to know that at this point in the show, we have to take a brief break and remind our listeners that you're listening to The Secrets of Success. My name is Bill Horan. The show is produced at 90.3 WHPC at Nassau Community College. We'll be right back after this brief intermission.
This portion of programming on WHPC is brought to you on behalf of the Nassau County Bar Association, helping both the public and lawyers since 1899. They are the largest suburban bar association in the country. The Nassau County Bar Association offers clinics where you can meet privately with an attorney to prevent or solve legal problems involving Hurricane Sandy, foreclosure, wills, or elder law. Speakers on almost any legal topic are also available to schools or community groups. They can also help lawyers advance their legal careers and offer a place to network. Learn more about the Nassau County Bar Association by calling 516-747-4070 or visit nassaubar.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Secrets of Success. I'm your host, Bill Horan, and today we're speaking with Bob Culhan, author of Getting to Yes And. Bob, that was fascinating how you just walked me into it in about 20 seconds, and the door really opened up. I mean, I was looking for my normal reaction, and I'm saying, yes, and then we can invite more people and meet more people and have more good food and really enjoy it. So that was a great example. When you're teaching a class, can you give us kind of a, take us back to maybe one of the training sessions? I think in your book you gave an example of telling people to come up with a new movie. But you can use that one or something else, but can you give us kind of an insight into how you would do this with a corporate group or a training group that you work with?
Absolutely. So the story that you just referenced is about elite earners in a top financial institution. I can't be too specific, of course, for this scenario. And what they really wanted to do is take their high-income clients, think, you know, LeBron James or Kobe Bryant type of money, and they wanted to build better relationships relationships with these clients, and they wanted to get the clients to understand the investments that they were making for him or her. And, of course, there's different ways to show a client that it's a good investment. In their particular case, they wanted to do it around stories because numbers and data mean something to people. However, they're not nearly as impactful as a good story that pulls upon emotion. And the way to do that is actually to listen to what somebody else is saying, pull elements of what they are saying in real time and fold them into your story so that you show that you're listening to those people, so you show that you understand and can empathize with their desires, their wants, their struggles, their needs, and you're on their team. And so you strengthen this relationship. We did this all under the premise of pitching a Hollywood story. This was for the UCLA Anderson School of Management. It was a top-tier exec ed program. We are in essentially Hollywood, or at least on the outskirts of Hollywood while we're in Westwood. And so we worked on all of these relationship building and real-time adaptability exercises that come inherently with improvisation, now with the desire of forming relationships and also forming stories in real time. And we put this together as a Hollywood pitch, bringing in experts from the industry, people have sold screenplays before, former Saturday Night Live cast member was on a panel that was judging, a producer for a very popular comedy show called Drunk History was on the panel as well, and these top-tier financial planners then worked together in newly formed teams to learn how to brainstorm ideas for stories, craft the stories into workable, memorable content, go from divergent thinking, the brainstorming side, to convergent thinking, the judgment side, to pick the best ideas they liked. Then they had to work together in teams to pitch these ideas. They had to take the notes of the panel that I just mentioned before, who were the judges, and fold them into round two of their pitches, provided they had a strong enough original pitch to move on to round two. For those who did not have a strong enough original pitch, they were folded into the winning team, so the team dynamic itself changed considerably from one round to two round, as you also had to fold in new team members, you had to fold in new notes, you had X amount of time to craft all of this and then get back in front of the panel and pitch a second time, showing that you've incorporated the notes, showing that you've worked with your new teammates in a very strong way, and once again, making the content memorable and impactful. And we did this all through the tent of improvisation. And the great thing about this specific exercise, this specific class that I taught, at the top of the class, day one, it's a three-day program. One of the people in the class, and this actually is not in the book, one of the people in the class stood up and said, "This is crap. I'm not going to learn anything in my time together. I regret doing this." And this was a program that was a reward for them because they were such elite earners. They could have gone to Hawaii. They could have gone to Europe. They could have gone to these other business schools and learned some other business classes. They chose to come into this class. And day one, a man literally stands up and says, quote, unquote, "This is crap." And this individual chose to continue to go through the entire journey and step at a time, class at a time, day at a time. And these were very long days, 3 days in a row, early in the morning to late at night. Finally, like a tough piece of meat, enough tenderizing, it becomes soft and pliable and absorbs the good stuff around it, the marinade. And at the end of the class, going through this process that I described before, this individual stood up and he apologized to the class, saying, "I'm sorry, I judged this too quickly. I now know, using the tenets of improvisation, that I rushed to judgment. I should have postponed judgment and been open to discovery, open to taking risks and taking chances. And this came from a lack of vulnerability on my part, some insecurity, and I made a fool of myself and I apologize for it."
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's a great title for the next book, though. This is crap. And then you start out with chapter one, just explaining how that came about, because I want our audience to know, if you didn't get it already, do yourself a favor. The book that Barb wrote is Getting to Yes And. Our guest's name is Barb Culhan, K-U-L-H-A-N. And Barb, would you tell us where the book is available, and is there a website where we can learn more about it?
Absolutely. Thank you. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on Books A Million. It's on 800 CEO Reads. It's in IndieBound. So it's in a lot of indie bookstores. And you can always go to gettingtoyesand.com and read more about the book, read testimonials, see some videos, find other support pieces, and that will take you to the right places to purchase the book.
And if you just want to have fun, just, by the way, the website also?
GettingToYesAnd.com.
Okay. Just for people, if you want to have some fun, next time you're ready to say yes, but, or no, but, stop and think about the title of this book, Getting to Yes And. And just as Bob tricked me a little bit before the break and walked me right into it, and here now we're planning this great party together, which we'll have to continue after the show, so I make sure I get invited and meet all these great authors. What a difference it makes and how many new ideas it generates, and also the people you're working with, how much better they feel. Bob, is there a drill or something you give people, for instance, the day after your seminars when they end, they go back to their so-called real world? Is there something that you tell them to do to kind of keep this in their life?
Absolutely, Bill. There's a number of somethings. And really, I'm inspired by what you just brought to the table, because I think it's important to underscore the simplicity of what we're talking about here, which is yes and versus yes but, in the way that it builds relationships, it's in a way that it creates personal adaptability and framing of mind, that you're looking for possibility and potential versus reasons why you can't work based on parameters or people with whom you're working. And really, in what we're doing as well, in the framing of language, yes and versus yes but, is creating intrinsic motivation in other people, the desire for them to want to talk and communicate with you. And so that quick drill that you mentioned before, again, inspired by what you just brought to the table, is this. If you do not think that there's a difference between yes and yes but, the next time you go out to a pub or a bar, or next time you're on an airplane or at a restaurant, find a stranger and yes but that person for 5 minutes. Everything coming out of your mouth has to start with yes but for 5 solid minutes in a row. And as you're being mindful and using this language, watch how this person reacts to you when everything coming out of your mouth has yes but at the beginning of it. And then at 5 minutes, if you can hold on for 5 minutes, and that's going to be the trick here, if you can actually maintain this conversation for 5 minutes, switch in real time from yes but to yes and again, be thoughtful and watch how the person across from you reacts to you when you are in a 5 minute long yes and conversation versus a 5 minute yes but conversation.
Bob, it must be fascinating to sit next to you at a cocktail party. We're running out of time, so real quick, I want our audience to know our guest has been Bob Culhan, Culhan. The book is called Getting to Yes And. Bob, the website real quick?
GettingToYesAnd.com.
Thanks so much for being with us today. We'd like to remind our audience that you've been listening to The Secrets of Success on 90.3 WHPC. I'm your host, Bill Horan, asking you to please join us again next week at the same time when we'll continue our journey to success.